Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Megan Garber. She is an astrologer. I met her on TikTok. She even picked me to do an astrology read on, and she was spot on, guys. And she goes by Meg and Megly online, and I'll give you all the information in the show notes later. But Meg, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much. And we were just reminiscing that it was already 2 years ago that I initially read your chart.
I know, it was June of 2024, and you picked me, and I was so excited. Then I gave you the wrong time, so you had to spend more time on me because I'm a dork.
I love it. That happens more often, though, than you would think. It's funny because I make the joke all the time that when I have kids, I'm going to have my partner with a stopwatch, and I'm going to say, what's the exact minute and second?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Because you know what? Who knows how accurate we really are? You know what I mean? Even when we were born way back when. But guys, Megan is going to do kind of an astrology prediction show with us. And what's going to happen is I'm going to have my mom eventually chime in. And I've already pulled cards. Y'all know me. And we're going to talk about the future of the U.S. and this administration. We're just going to go there. And you guys all know that I would never wish any bad things on anyone. I don't care who you are or where you are. But let's just get an idea of where everything's heading. And Meg, I'm going to let you kind of take the reins here and tell me kind of what you're getting for the next 6 months here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, there's so much that goes into predictive astrology in general. And then so much that also matters when you are predicting in essence of history, right? And so I just want to kind of set the stage with the historical patterns that we see. So I think the biggest thing is that when you're looking at astrology and you're listening to any astrologer, you know, part of the job itself is, yes, to look at transits and, you know, who's impacted, who are the key players and all of these important parts of it, predictive wise. But then also you want to look to the past. And like any science, right, you almost want to test it and have it check out, so to speak. And so the United States right now is going through a lot. I'm not sure if you want me to run through like the major transits, let's say, to kind of paint a picture of.
Okay.
So I guess the first and probably biggest one that is going to be in our face immediately is the Pluto return. Okay. So obviously this year, America is turning 250 years old. Yes. And we know that there's a lot of talk about the celebration of that. And what's interesting is that if you guys are anything like me, when I was in, elementary school, high school, whatever, I had history teachers who would be like, hey, you know, nations kind of have their fall, so to speak, at 250 years old.
Yes.
And, and the Virgo moon and Virgo rising in me as a child was like, well, why? I wanted to know why, right? So fast forward to today. Really, now we understand astrologically that that is actually the Pluto return. And so Pluto as a planet, as an archetype, it talks about death and rebirth. It talks about things that are happening beneath the surface. Okay. Pluto actually rules over Scorpio. So Scorpios get that very deep, dark, like occult-like vibe, right? Where it's like, ooh, what's under the surface there? And that's because Pluto, which rules the underworld, is overlooking, let's say, or ruling over Scorpio. And so there's this tonality to the Pluto return, where it's kind of saying, you know, anything that's happening behind the scenes or underground, we need to almost excavate and bring up so it sees the light of day. And through that excavation process, we actually have a major transmutation, a transformation, change, death, and a rebirth. And so humans obviously don't reach this 250 year cycle, but nations and other entities, so to speak, do, right? And so we kind of see that energy come up every time a nation hits 250 years old. So the transit time for the Pluto return on average is about 248 years to 250 years, depending on retrogrades and other things. But yeah, so that is the first big one, I feel like, that we're going to immediately see once we hit the 4th of July.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I've heard from a lot of astrologers, including you, saying July is not going to be the best month for us.
Yes,
Oh,
exactly.
no.
And really, I mean, I'll get to some of those details too in a second, but another cycle that is very important to talk about as well would be, I'm like, where do I go from here? There's so much here. But I would say Uranus and Gemini. Let's talk about Uranus and Gemini because this is the really notable and important transit, but trendy transit when it comes to TikTok and more modern pop astrology. Uranus and Gemini, it's an 84-year transit, technically, or the transit itself is 7 to 8 years, but the actual cycle between when the transit happens versus the next time it happens in that same sign is 84 years. And so Uranus and Gemini is the energetic signature of the US going to war or being involved in war in a primary way. And so the first time we saw this happen was 1775 to 1783, which of course was the American Revolutionary War. And then we saw it again with the American Civil War. And then we saw it again in World War II. And then, of course, 84 years later actually brought us to 2025. And we see that next installment of what this transit will be about. So, for all of you who were looking at TikTok and seeing all of these astrologers predicting war, this was one of the major transits that we were talking about. Because, like clockwork, we should see 2025 really foreshadow what that was going to be about. So, that's another major transit that tracks really literally throughout history. But then, circling back to July 4th, that 250-year mark, we also see Mars conjoining Uranus. And that itself is a tricky transit. It's not overly positive, I would say. And it's really about these major installments of this time period with Uranus and Gemini. It's kind of like the facilitating transit that gets that show more on the road. So I'll kind of pause there for a second because I know that's already a lot.
You know, it is a lot, but you predicted every bit of this. And I kept thinking when you were doing it last year, you were predicting this. And I was like, Meg, just be wrong. Just be wrong. Just be wrong once. Nope. You were always right every single time. So I was like, well, I got to have her on because I've had other astrologers on and they've said some of the same things, but I love the way also that you describe so I can understand because I've learned a lot through you as well. And guys, I've pulled some cards too. So we'll have to talk about those too because this is crazy stuff. My mom's going to chime in as well. So I've also heard, Meg, that June, this month, today is June 1st, is going to be kind of crazy toward the end of the month. Is that correct?
That is correct. And, you know, when you're really looking at it, number one, you want to work with the moon in the 6 month cycle. So this is how I'm tracking June so far. You know, back in January, we had two moons, right? We had a Cancer moon, and then we also had a Capricorn moon. The Cancer moon was a full moon, the Capricorn moon was a new moon. And really, when you're dealing with those two signs specifically, the US chart has a Cancer stellium, so it's very reactive or sensitive to Cancer transits, Cancer energy in general. And then we have, of course, Capricorn, and Capricorn is all about structure, the laws, the rules, the government, right? Authority. And so back in January, I had, you know, put a couple dates out there saying, hey, don't like how these look. And we saw a lot come up during
Oh,
that time.
exactly.
Renee Nicole Good was part of that. You know, Epstein files were part of that. There was a lot. It was very potent. But something that I, you know, of course, am tracking a year ago and then at the time and then moving into June now is that whenever we're dealing with Capricorn, really, again, we start to see, well, what are our authorities doing? What are the laws like? What are the rules and the governing in our country? And so that new moon in January is now turning into a full moon this month in June. And that's going to be June 29th. And so, really, when you're dealing with a full moon, you're kind of saying it's the black of night, right? It's dark. And then we have this really big shining light, which is the moon, and it's revealing something to us. So, it's highlighting what we're supposed to look at. And so, a full moon in Capricorn is saying, hey, look at what's going on again with our governing, with our rules, with our laws, with our authorities. And that same very day, we actually have Mercury stationing retrograde in Cancer. So we're coming back to this axis, right? In Cancer. And it's stationing on the natal vertex of the US chart. And the vertex is a very sensitive, almost fated point in the chart. It's not a planet, but it's a calculated point. And so it's kind of signaling that this is kicking off something big for the United States, because as we see that Mercury retrograde play out through July, right, we actually will see the Mars-Uranus conjunction as well in Gemini. And then we'll also see that retrograde go over that stellium in the eighth house Cancer for the United States chart. So there's a lot there.
Okay. Well, so, and what I've told my listeners, and I just told Meg before we started recording, I said, you know, when I ask Mom about this administration and what's going to happen by, you know, the end of the year, and my dad even confirms it too, and he's no longer with us either, Meg. I don't know if I told you that. My dad even confirmed it, and they both agree so much is going to happen within this 6-month time frame, and it's going to happen faster than we think. And a lot of it had to do with this administration and our leader as we know him now. So that doesn't mean anything bad's going to happen to him in the way of health, but maybe. But also, he's just not going to be leading us anymore. That is the biggest takeaway I can. It's not like she says he's going to do specific things. It's just more about a download of, this is how I'm perceiving it from Mom. You don't have to worry about him come 2027 at all. So what are your thoughts on that? Are you seeing, do you have his chart, Meg?
Yes, of course. Okay. It's the first chart listed in my data bank, just because I reference it so often.
So are you seeing something that kind of correlates with what my mom and dad are kind of confirming, or what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, I think that this Mercury retrograde that will go over the stellium of the United States chart in general is going to be a turning point specifically for the U.S. in general.
Okay.
And I think that if this were to happen with Donald Trump, I don't know if I'm allowed, to say his name?
Yeah.
Okay. If we were to see Trump, you know, have major changes, I think that what we see play out through July directly leads us into that transition point for Trump himself as well, because once we get to August, we actually, well, number one, we are in eclipse season again. And for those of you who don't know, eclipse season, I mean, really, it's like wild card energy. It's wacky energy. Anything goes during that time.
And he was born on an eclipse.
Yes, exactly. And so eclipses, I mean, in ancient astrology, they actually are correlated to the death of kings, quite literally. And so we see that oftentimes during eclipse season, we have like a king or a leader or a prominent figure kind of have its fall, right? Okay. So when you're dealing with Donald Trump, I mean, he was actually born June 14th, 1946 on an exact eclipse. And I believe that eclipse was actually in Sagittarius.
Okay.
However, when we're entering this eclipse season, we're having our very last eclipse in Pisces. So we've had a lot going on in Pisces over the last 3 years. Yes. And this is kind of the bookend to the Pisces area of everybody's chart, but especially for Donald Trump, which this is his eighth house. Okay. And the eighth house deals with, again, this transformation. It deals with debt, loans, finances. And it also deals with loss and mortality and grief, right?
Wow.
So, yeah, so we have the final bookending eclipse in Pisces, and we also have the very first eclipse in Leo. And he's actually a Leo rising, a Leo Mars, and has Pluto in Leo in the first house as well.
What?
So this is activating his first house and his eighth house.
Yes.
Meanwhile, by that point, we'll actually have Jupiter also transiting his first house, Leo. So between August 12th, which is the Leo eclipse, and then August 28th, which is the Pisces eclipse, we see his first house and eighth house very activated. And for somebody who's born under an eclipse portal and on an actual eclipse, this is the mark of major change, in my opinion. So I would imagine that if we were to see major changes for him, again, a lot of it might be foreshadowing through July, but then I really feel like that peak period is going to be August in my perspective.
Okay. So what do you think? Does that mean, how would you interpret that? Would you, let's just ask the question.
In layman's terms?
Yeah.
Yes. In layman's terms in general, I mean, let's just talk about the U.S. chart for a second.
Okay.
The stellium in Cancer is in the eighth house. So again, the eighth house deals with loss. It deals with mortality.
Okay.
It deals with change, transformation. It deals with things that are happening below the surface, right? So anything that's corrupt, any type of abuse, it deals with I mean, honestly, when you're looking at like an entities chart, right, it deals with joint resources. So like our financial systems, our banking, things like that as well.
Yeah.
And so we see that happening for the U.S. chart versus Donald Trump's chart. This is, that retrograde through Cancer is happening in his 12th house. Now, the 12th house actually sits behind the ascendant. So it's kind of like the blind spot of the chart. Okay. Sometimes this can represent things that are going on very, very privately, very behind the scenes. Other times it can talk about things that are happening that we're simply not aware of. Yeah. For example, you know, hidden enemies land in the 12th house. Hospitals land in the 12th house. Oh. Jail lands in the 12th house. And yeah. So again, like, I mean, a couple things come up with this. I mean, jail, number one. Yeah. Number two, how is this person's health, right? When you're dealing with a first house eclipse and an eighth house eclipse, to be honest with you, sometimes that can talk about, you know, loss or death of the native, of course.
Right.
And then, of course, with that retrograde happening in the 12th, if this were my client, I'd say, hey, watch your health. Especially because he has his natal Venus, Saturn, and Mercury all in the 12th house Cancer as well. So it's signaling to me in layman's terms that something's kind of brewing behind the scenes in July, but we don't really see, you know, what that is, so to speak, until we get to August. I feel like that's the bigger outward change. So although we might be hearing about a lot in August, I feel like we can even sense it or kind of pick up on it in July, even if it's happening kind of privately.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Because guys, let me tell you about the cards I pulled, because I got to do it while you've had Megan's words in your head, because, and I've already gone over these with Megan and we were both kind of blown away. I'm always blown away with the cards I've been pulling, even when I do the solo episodes. So the first card I pulled was the Ten of Pentacles. And that means wealth, financial security, family, long-term success and contribution. So, and she just talked about it affects financial, right? Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Right. The eighth house for both of these charts is activated. Yes.
Yes. And that blows me away already. Okay. So now we know maybe he's trying to get some financial stuff. Even it says family. Maybe they're trying to get some financial things going on to where they're trying to secure some things. I don't know. But then the next card I pulled was the Two of Wands. And what that is planning, progress, making decisions, discovery, leaving home, travel plans. Now, this doesn't mean anything really. It's just my interpretation, but it could mean he could be trying to leave the country. I don't know. I feel like that could be an option or something he could be trying to do behind the scenes. And then the next card I got was the Three of Swords, and that's heartbreak, suffering, grief, emotional pain, sorrow, hurt, divorce, loss and depression. And if that doesn't explain what she just said, I don't know what does. I mean, just like blown away.
I do find it interesting too, just because the 12th house can talk about kind of like a liminal space, which again is why you see hospitals there or jail, or even sometimes in ancient astrology, it correlates to like being away, you know, in foreign land or on a plane or like a liminal space. And so when you mentioned fleeing the country, I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny.
You know, and don't be wrong, I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I can guarantee you they've all thought about it. Look at Peter Thiel. He's already left. He went to Argentina. So something's up. And I'm not saying any of this is related, but I'm not saying it's not either, because we don't for sure know. No one really knows. But the fact that she's telling us all these things that are happening, I pull these cards. My mom also contributes and my dad confirms that something's going to happen within these next 6 months. And I don't even know if we're going to be dealing with the same leadership.
Yeah, I definitely have the same questions, I would say. And overall, with, you and I have talked about this privately, but, you know, regardless or not, if Trump stays, if he doesn't stay, anything like that, this administration in general, we're kind of up against, I don't want to say a fight all in all, but a fight initially in the sake of kind of this rebirth that we will see overall over the next 7 years. And I'm sure that 7 years is like, whoa, 7 years, that seems like a long time. But really, when you're dealing with a lot of these transits, you really see the same timeline come up, which brings us into the mid 2030s for all of these transits, to be honest with you. And overall, yes, we're dealing with a difficult time right now. However, like when I'm looking at the energy zoomed out, it's for the greater good. And it's like, okay, we're not, you know, acting like we're transforming or acting like we're changing or acting like, you know, we're getting rid of corruption, but really it's still happening beneath the surface. This entire time period is about really bringing the truth to light, yes, addressing it and kind of seeing the downfall, so to speak, of the systems and of oppression and all of these things that have been systemically in our nation as we know it, and really seeing them dissolve. Exactly. So yeah. I just wanted to mention, although it's hard right now, and even if Trump does, you know, leave, so to speak, we're still up against this major transformation, and it will, I really do believe it will end in light and justice and, you know, equality in much bigger real ways. However, it's like this moment of time where it gets really, really potent and hard before we see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, and I think a lot of us, maybe that did or didn't vote for him, I certainly didn't, but the people that did probably needed to see this. But I think we all needed to see the light within our government, how corrupt both sides can be. And, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. 7 years doesn't seem that long to me to totally reverse so much bad that has happened and rebuild and gain trust back. And I did get an indication from Mom that once we do get rid of this administration, other countries will eventually start coming back sooner than we think as well. I think they know it's this administration. It's not the people. It's not the majority of people at all. So I don't know what you're getting with that, but
yeah. Well, so here's the other thing is that, I mean, again, there are so many transits happening all at once, yeah, but we also currently have Pluto in Aquarius.
Oh.
And yeah, and again, Pluto, right? We've talked about the Pluto return. Yeah. We talked about Uranus and Gemini, but Pluto in Aquarius, let's break that down. I mean, Pluto, again, is about transformation, change, the truth. It's about power. Yes. It's about power struggles. It's about, you know, who has the power and how do they use it, right?
Right.
But in Aquarius is the people. It's me and you, and it's the common collective people. And so Pluto in Aquarius talks about power to the people and how do you distribute that power.
Nice.
Now, in Aquarius, right, across the axis, you have the sister sign, let's say, of Leo. And Leo is not we the people. Leo is the king, the wannabe dictator. Mm-hmm. It's the people in the limelight. They are celebrities, right?
Yeah.
So it's more about the self and that, you know, Leo kind of is the self,
yeah,
and it's in the spotlight. So you're kind of dealing with this polarizing energy of not only Pluto in Aquarius, so power to the people, which just to let you guys know, that correlates to the American and French Revolution. Mm. It also coincides with the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
And in general, it talks about, you know, AI and technological shifts and, you know, all of these things that we're already dealing with.
Right.
But really, what's going to happen later this year when we see Jupiter go into Leo, now we're having an opposition between Pluto in Aquarius and Jupiter in Leo. Mm. So it's really this fight, this big fight for power between, right, people at the top, people, yeah, in the limelight versus we the people.
Right.
And so that's happening. Meanwhile, we actually see, well, have seen already, eclipses start in this same axis, which really what an eclipse is a moon that is conjoining either the north or the south node.
Okay.
The north node is kind of like the guiding light. It's saying, hey, step into this energy. And the north node is about to move into Aquarius. Mm. So again, more about the people, the collective, versus the south node, which is all about releasing. It's all about letting go and shedding that energy. Mm. And that is about to move into Leo.
Oh,
and so,
okay,
yeah. And so for the US, this is the nodal reversal, which is really interesting. It's kind of a check-in point to say, hey, are we aligning with this energy and how do you course correct if you're not?
Yeah.
So that's very literal. But it's also meaning that, you know, destiny, so to speak, is also on the people's side right now. We're shedding that fixation on leaders, on wannabe dictators, you know, on celebrities, and we're coming into our power as a collective, as,
yes,
a people. So yeah, there's a lot there too, but I'll stop there.
Well, you know, it's funny because as you're talking, I'm like, you know what? We have gone through so much chaos in this country already in the last year and a half with him being here. And we're kind of used to it. And people are always going to get worse before it gets better. We're so used to worse. at this point, yes, it's probably going to get more expensive. Maybe we're going to have less availability with groceries or whatever, or gas or whatever. I still think we won't be out. I don't think anybody needs to go, oh my gosh, we'll have nothing to get at the stores. I don't think it'll ever be that way. But my thing is, guys, we only have good things to look forward to now. I think we're at rock bottom at this point. You know, it can only get better, you know?
I love that mindset. I think that is, I mean, yeah, I think that that's a true statement in the sense of, you know, when you do hit rock bottom, you really can only go up. Yeah. I think that this summer will be very telling of that personally, okay. Because, yeah. You know, again, we have all of these transits all at once. Mm-hmm. We have Saturn and Neptune also in Aries, which again, Aries is all about conflict and combat and war. And, you know, the first day of the Civil War, so yeah. We actually had that same exact day Neptune move into Aries, right? So we see that again now, which really brings up, you know, me, the self. How do we fend for ourselves, literally, which is all about what Aries is. So we see that at play. We see so many things at play. We see Chiron moving into Taurus, which Taurus is all about the economy. It's about our crops, our food, our livelihood, our finances, quite literally. And so Chiron in Taurus, you know, coincides with economic pressure and stress. And we're obviously already seeing that now. In a couple of years, we will also see Saturn go into Taurus. And so, yes, we're up against these challenging transits and these challenging realities that we face. However, much of it is restructuring. And again, I think that that is the important part to, I guess, keep in mind as we're facing challenges, is that when everything comes falling down, it is hard. Absolutely. Yeah. However, that's also the moment to rebuild. And you almost have to deconstruct in order to create again. And to me, it's like that duality is what we're dealing with currently. Absolutely. And to keep that in our mind's eye will help us get through it.
It really will. You know, because we can't be afraid of change. This is going to completely rock our world. And it already has. And, you know, just from what you say, just from now until August, our world's going to get rocked. You're right. It's not going to get better right away. But, you know, the thing is, you guys, we've already been through the ringer these last almost two years, and we've had 10 plus years of Trump already, you know, off and on. So let's just let it play out. You guys, you got to embrace that light. You got to get within your own self and meditate or whatever helps you, because at this point, my mom's even chiming in. She's like, guys, just hang on to the light, continue to send good vibes throughout the whole universe, because you don't have any idea how much good intentions ripple through and send good vibes everywhere. There's a reason we all prayed. Do you remember that? We all had that world ascending good vibes throughout the universe, and it's a ripple effect. Now, let me ask you this though, Meg, while I'm thinking about it. Do you think we're going to have disclosure, ET disclosure in 2026 or 2027? Does anything in the chart say that?
You know, it's interesting. I haven't looked or like studied that area primarily. Yeah. However, intuitively, I would say yes. I think that Aquarius is very much so that like extraterrestrial ET type energy that we always are talking about. And so Pluto in Aquarius, eclipses in Aquarius, which means the North Node is in Aquarius. And again, even the Pluto Jupiter opposition, I would be very surprised if we didn't. And I wouldn't be surprised if it correlated to, again, later this year in the summer or even next year, early next year around February, just because these are the next peaks in terms of the eclipses. So, I would not be surprised.
You know, and God knows how they're going to do it. I don't know how they're going to do it. You know, there's that disclosure day coming up. You know, that movie with Steven Spielberg, you know, he's doing the movie. Emily Blunt, she's the main character in it. And she...
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, you know, a lot of times when I listen to Bashar, I don't know if you know who that is, Meg, but Bashar says a lot of times some of these directors that do these like ET kind of films, it's like they're kind of channeling, they're kind of figuring it out just through the information they're getting, right? So they have that gift of going, hey, this could happen. I mean, there's so many movies that like, you know, What Dreams May Come when it comes to near-death experiencers, or like, you know, Encounters of the Third Kind. And then, of course, Arrival or Interstellar or all those things. It's just, it's incredible how the insights of this, everybody has their own gift, I think. And these are the gift of filmmakers that want to do these kinds of movies. That's their calling. Just like my podcast, just like Meg does astrology. It's our calling. And that's why I think that we're so good at it. So Oh my gosh. Meg, do you have any other things that you'd like to tell my listeners, you know, as far as good things coming our way?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest messages just in general, I don't know if it's necessarily good or bad, but really stepping into this energy of your power, right? Again, Pluto in Aquarius is really trying to redistribute the power. That's what it's technically about. And I think when we're looking at today's political climate and this administration, obviously it's made up of a group of oligarchs.
Yes.
And, you know, arguably they've created a system where they can keep the control or the power, so to speak, through the financial system specifically, right? Whether that means you try to have a better life and go to college and you need a student loan, or if you want to, you know, drive around, you have an auto loan. If you want a roof over your head, you have a mortgage. And so I get that it's so deeply ingrained, but when it comes to our power, I think it's really important right now that all of us as Americans look at where we are spending and who are we actually funding. And I think that, you know, again, all of the, you know, Chiron and Taurus, for example, and these eighth house, like the United States eighth house retrograde and stellium, you know, it really starts to kick up like, okay, what are our financial systems doing? And how do we kind of claim our power back through where we're spending and how we're using our own power in that regard? So that's one just little tidbit that if I can, you know, give somebody an action step or the collective an action step in terms of how do we fight back against what we're currently experiencing, that is a huge one.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, in terms of a positive little note, like, again, there will be hard times, but arguably, I think that we're going to see us as a people, I mean, us as a true nation come together in, yes, challenging ways, but deeper than ever. You know, I think that at the end of the day, we will realize that there really aren't two sides of this. There's just one people, and we have to kind of fight for each other, right? So,
Great point.
At the end of the day, it's like, it's challenging, but I think it's very unifying at the same time, and that's very powerful.
You know, and it's almost like this whole situation with the U.S., because it affects the whole world, the whole world goes through it. It's not just one nation or one Rome. So if that's the case, and it changes the whole world's view and the whole world's actions from here on out, that's only a good thing, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we know that the U.S. has had a very dominant stance.
Yes.
Especially economically, right? In other cultures and other countries and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, what we're seeing right now very likely changes a lot of the world order as we know it.
And that's, I mean, to me, that's like killing a lot of birds with only one stone. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, when you look back at these timeframes again, before, right, that we saw like 1941 to 1945, right? It's like, even though, you know, it was such a singular potent area that was impacted, we saw genuine world change from what had happened. And again, it's like, you know, duality. We unfortunately have to go through struggle in order to see the other side. And I think that's an important nuance here is that, you know, yes, there's change, but yes, there's struggle to reach the change. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from this time period in general is that we live in a world of duality and therefore a world of opposites, you know, like you have night and day, you have good and bad, you have challenge, and then you have rejoicing at the end when we learn from it and change because of it. And I think that in order to get through this time period, we have to keep that at the front and center of our minds, or else you can feel like you're kind of, you know, pushing the boulder up the hill just to have it fall back down again. So just knowing that there's purpose in everything, I think really helps.
Exactly. And, you know, I think the patriarchy, as much as I love men, and I, this is no slam on them, but I think we need more of a balance with patriarchy and matriarchy. I think having women in leadership more so than even not at this point, I just think we would handle things so much differently. Honestly, I think it goes back to religion where we were suppressed and women are suppressed and everything's suppressed and everybody's so afraid of us and we're not producing babies and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, let us lead you. Let us help you. Let us show you our wisdom, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 60s, 80s, whatever. It used to be that way. It used to be like that in different tribes, in indigenous tribes. The women, the older women, were the ones that were the matriarch of the tribe. And it used to be that for thousands of years. But then, you know, men came along and wanted that power for whatever reason, probably for money or whatever. But it's gotten out of hand, obviously. And it's been out of hand for probably hundreds of years, if not thousands of years.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting you mention that, just because every time, you know, I make like a TikTok or I mention the U.S. chart publicly somewhere and I mention that, you know, it has a cancer stellium. Everyone's like, what?
Right.
Cancer? Like, that's such a tender, motherly, nurturing energy. In the eighth house, obviously, it's a bit more literally like oppressed, suppressed, whatever you want to say. Yeah. But it's interesting because this chart specifically, I could see in a higher expression really embracing that cancer energy in a lot of ways, you know, I would say the U.S. has. I mean, when you're thinking about cancer, it's talking about the home, right? It's talking about the roots. It's talking about where you feel nurtured at night, right? And technically, the U.S. is kind of the melting pot and have had many decades where they welcomed immigrants and people from different cultures. So I like that component of it. But I do hope to see with the Pluto return and all of these other changes and the death and the rebirth that is going on, right? I really hope to see the U.S. kind of lean into that nurturing archetype a bit more.
Okay, cool. And one more question about and around the 4th of July. Tell me what you would be cautious for everyone around that time. Tell us what we should look out for and just be cautious.
You know, when you're dealing with a Mars-Uranus conjunction, again, number one, in Gemini specifically, this is when you see those periods of, let's say, war or war tension throughout history, like I mentioned. This is where you see progression. So I would say that in general, the situation that we have in Iran, war tension in general, because truly Donald Trump has Mars conjunct the ascendant, literally. So it's like he's a walking impulsive like warhead to me, so you just never know. But I would say like global war tension rising. But in general, this transit, whether it's in Gemini or not, this is where you see kind of like shock attacks, to be honest with you. So I would just give everybody a gentle caution that if you are going out, you're going to be in crowds, be very aware of your surroundings. I would say to even check your chart and see, is this hitting a natal placement, meaning would it be personal to you? But yeah, this is where, unfortunately, you see, you know, stabbings, shootings, just like shock violence, if I'm being honest. And that isn't to fearmonger, but that is say, you know, on arguably the busiest day for the United States every year, this is not the transit you want to see. And so I would just say, if you can do something a bit more close to home or privately, I would do so. And in general, I think it's going to be a big day for the United States. In Gemini, I could see this relating back to more almost like virtual means, if that makes sense. So like I think of cyber attacks or data attacks, things like that. And that can also be arguably just as scary, right? Our information.
Yes.
So yeah, that's my prediction.
Well, and you guys, when she says check your chart, guess who can check your chart? Megan can. So Megan, tell everybody where they can find you if they want a chart reading from you and or anything else you can provide.
Yes, I can check everybody's charts. yes, you can. You can find me on TikTok at Megly, M-E-G-G-L-Y. Okay. And you can also book a reading with me on my website, megly.co. So megly.co.
Okay.
And yeah, I pretty much post most of my content on TikTok. I make horoscope videos every single week. And
you're amazing. And I adore you. And I have loved you since you did that reading for me. And you were so spot on. It's crazy how accurate this stuff is, you guys. So, and be cautious out there. And guys, know that I'll be adding all of Megan's information on my show notes. And Megan, you have been amazing. I may have to have you back.
I would love that. If you ever decide, I will be here.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show, and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.